is the season of waiting and anticipating. Through the centuries, in all kinds of circumstances, Christians have waited for God to act with love and justice in the world. We have sensed that as much as we work for these things to unfold in the world, God is really the one who will bring a decisive change. So we wait. The question is, how do we wait? With dread? With eagerness? With calm? In both our readings for today, the church is called to wait with eager expectation and hope. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief, for you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then, let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to you all, keep awake. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, and the actions of our lives be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Oh, the Christian church can be so behind the times sometimes, eh? The church is just so late into the game. This is the first Sunday of Advent, the Sunday in which we together formally begin our four-week period of preparation leading to the Christmas celebrations. But we are so late. I mean, Sears has been at it since September. I haven't seen one this year, but it used to be that the wish book would come and that would kind of herald the start of the race. August. Okay. Well, we don't get a wish book anymore, but the TV, the internet, they've been hammering away at Christmas preparations for quite a while. Isn't it kind of ironic that the Christian church should be the last to to get in the game? Well, I suppose it all depends on what you're preparing for. Now, when you're preparing for a big dinner, well, the preparation consists of inviting people, planning menus, getting the house ready, preparing the food, preparing the table. When you're preparing for a concert, well, the task is different, as I was saying to the earlier. Instead of making things once that will be gone at the end of the event, you practice, you rehearse. You go over the music again and again and again until you get it just the way you want it on the night, and you build skills and abilities similar to the way a racer gets ready for a race. But the contrast with a meal, what you prepare is not gone after the meal is finished, after the concert is done. It's still there, at least for a little while. So what about Christmas? The nature of our preparing depends a whole lot on what we think about the thing that we're preparing for. Sears and Chapters and all their competitors would have us believe that we're preparing for a moment when all kinds of yearnings will be met with stuff. That moment on Christmas morning is the critical moment. And so you prepare for that moment by buying and making as much as you can, or even perhaps a little more. And I guess that's part of why the Christian church is so late in the game. At the heart of our Advent preparation is a completely different set of assumptions about just what is it we're preparing for. Is it a moment? Is it an event? Or is it something bigger than that? I heard about a church in which one of their Advent activities, their preparation activities, was to pass around a stethoscope so that each person could take turns listening to the heartbeat of an unborn child in one of their members' stomachs. It, in the same way that the sacred gift of the Christ child comes to us through what is inside Mary's womb, so the real event we are preparing for happens inside of us, at the heart of the human being, at the heart of the human condition. It's the kind of thing we need a spiritual stethoscope for. We're waiting and preparing and rehearsing for a spiritual birth to come. And as Mark put it, come at any time. We're waiting and preparing and rehearsing for the realization of a dream of human community in which, as Isaiah puts it, we will beat our swords into plowshares and our spears into pruning hooks, and we will not practice war anymore. Nations will no longer take up arms against nations. We're preparing for God's life and God's vision to be born in us and between us. Inside ourselves, inside our relationships, inside our world, the spiritual bearing of God. This birth can come at any time. And yet, in this season of Advent, we try to give it special attention. And the question is, how do you prepare for the bearing of God in your life? Well, I guess you got my first opinion about that earlier, and that is that the Wish Book or any of its 2011 equivalents isn't much help in this kind of preparation. In fact, it and much of the rest of the frenetic commercial activity of the season is often an unhelpful diversion, not always, but often an unhelpful diversion away from the task. I believe that the world is filled with God already. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, says the ancient psalmist. The world is filled with divine light, divine energy, divine presence. God's already here. Every moment is filled with potential energy, God's potential energy, just waiting to release. And the transformation that we long for in our hearts and in our homes and in our world is not far away at all. In fact, it is already here in its potential form. And God is just waiting for us to live into it, to wake up to it, to embrace it. Have you ever been in a situation, in a relationship with someone, where you've been really close, and then something happens? It's almost imperceptible, but something has happened. And for that reason, it's not what it used to be. Maybe something was said, there was a misunderstanding, something happened. And you value that person in your life. But there is this thing that has made it difficult. They're still in your life, you're still carrying on, but it's not as easy as it was. And so you kind of avoid whatever that thing is, and so does the other person, and it just sits there. And life goes on, and time moves on, and you carry on, but time is precious. And then somewhere along the line, somebody finally says something, and the ice is broken. And you talk. And all of the goodness that you see in one another is allowed to have full reign. And you come to a new understanding. And it's probably not exactly the same as it was, but there is a release. And you probably think to yourself and say to one another, why did we wait so long? All the conditions were for reconciliation have been present all along. All that was needed was for someone to step in and break the ice, to live into reconciliation. I believe that the same is true for so much of what we long for. God's great potential is here, is just waiting for someone to wake up to it, to live into it, just waiting for someone to be so presumptuous, so audacious, as to expect the very best to fall into place if we just stepped into it. This is true, I believe, in each of our lives in so many different ways, but also in our relationships, and also, I believe, in our human family. Well, this is Advent. And in Advent, I want to invite you to be audacious. To prepare for the birth of Christ by living as if the very thing that God hopes for in God's heart for you, the very thing you long for in your relationships, that you yearn for in this world, will actually unfold if we but live into it, wake up to it. Living into it, waking up to it, is not the whole story, but it is a necessary precondition for the thing we long for to take place. Because if we stand back from it, it won't happen. I believe that one of the reasons our dreams don't unfold as readily as we might hope is that we don't actually expect them to. And so we hold back. But to prepare for God's life to unfold in us, to bear God in the world, we must create a sense of expectation within ourselves and within each other. We need to, as Paul says, build each other up, build the hope in each other. We must live as if it is what God wants and trust that. We are called to prepare for the birth of Christ. Yes, it's a celebration, but it is also something in us and between us. And we do this by forming our lives around what God would dream for us and for this world. Mahatma Gandhi said that very, very memorable and much used these days phrase, "Be the change you wish to see in the world. Be it." Wake up to the change you long for. Prepare for it in your life. Amen.